Well, my name is Chris Secor, and I'm the youth pastor here at Alliance. And again, if you are new with us today, welcome. Merry Christmas to you, and it's great having you here. Like Lane said, myself, the team, the elders, we would love to connect with you, interact with you, answer any questions you may have about our church, or answer any questions you may have about King Jesus and the significance of this holiday season. Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. So on the bulletins that were handed out to you, if you go to the back page, there's a section called message notes, and the purpose of those message notes is for you to follow along and to take notes. Don't feel like you have to do it. Like I'm saying, look, you got to do it. Don't feel obligated to. It's just another great opportunity for you to engage with the message, whatever way is best for you to take in the message. So quick story time for you guys. Growing up, my family loved camping. Like, we were overly obsessed with camping. Now, for some of us, like central Minnesotans, your idea of camping is going inside of a tent and embracing nature at its purest form. That wasn't my family's formula for camping. We loved to go inside a camper, nice and warm, with the kitchen, bathroom, totally safe. Like, the black bears weren't going to get you, and the timber wolves weren't going to get you. It was totally fine. But one of the great traditions of the Secor family experience in camping was every night on a Friday night, we would have mac and cheese with camper peas. Now, essentially, like, what camper peas are, it's just canned sweet peas. My brother and I, growing up, we would only eat camper peas for our veggies. If it came from some other pea company, or if it was fresh from the garden, nope, we aren't going to eat it. So every night, mac and cheese, camper pea every Friday night, and then sometimes there were leftovers. So there's one familiar camping trip experience that stands out to me that I want to share with you. So I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, and I was hiking around with my dad and my brother, his name is Matt, in Minnesota. And as everybody knows, fall time in Minnesota is just beautiful, right? Like, it is just amazing, especially in central Minnesota, the fall time of year when you see the leaves changing and you just experience the beauty in whatever capacity that you enjoy. Now, my brother, my dad, and I, we were walking, and we see this beautiful lakefront scenery with a dock, and so we decided to go out and investigate and just take in the Minnesota fall scenery. And as we were walking out, my dad was about mid-dock, and my brother and I continue walking out towards the end of the dock. Now, I don't know exactly how it happened, and I say that intentionally, but I was fully submerged in the water, completely underwater. So I'm thinking it's one of two possible ways I was underwater. Either my brother tripped me or pushed me in, and I wouldn't be surprised if Matt did that, or my 6-year-old, 7-year-old self thought there was more dock than there really was, and I just straight up walked into the water. All possible reasons for me being completely submerged. But either way, I was completely submerged under the water. At least in my 6-year-old mind, I was. My dad comes to the edge of the dock, and he grabs the back of my jacket, and he pulls me, lifts me out of the water, and just like any good 6 or 7-year-old little boy, I just began crying and weeping, and my brother's laughing at me, and my dad's like, dude, just chill, you're fine. No, he didn't really say that. So my dad, my brother, and I, we began walking back to the camper, and I'm completely drenched. I'm weeping. My brother is laughing at me, and we get inside the camper. See, this is why it's nice having a camper and not a tent, because you have a place to dry off, and like the tent membrane is not very friendly when it comes to water. Inside the camper, dad dries me off, and I put on a separate set of clothes. That's one of many camping experiences I had growing up. And why I'm drawn to that story in particular is that there was a moment where I needed rescuing. I couldn't do anything on my own. My little 6-year-old arms could not rescue myself out of the waters. I needed my dad to come alongside me because everything in my context, everything in my environment was limiting me from rescuing myself. And so my dad comes along and he pulls me out of the water. Now, if I was to walk off another dock again, I'm 24 years old. I have a little bit more muscle mass built up. Unless you're one of my students, then you say no. But I'm able to pull myself out of the water now, hopefully. Right? Yeah, right. Hopefully I'm able to pull myself out of the water. But I have to be honest with you, church. Even as an adult, I still need rescuing. Let's just be honest. That's something really hard for any adult to say, especially a male adult, to recognize, I can't do this on my own. As a pastor, I have a unique career where I get to walk alongside families and people from different walks of life, and I get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And one of the hardest things it is for me to see, whether it's with parents or with students, is acknowledging, I can't do it, I need help. And that's a really good place. But the reason I'm drawn to that story, the reason, like I said, it was because I needed help. About a year ago, my own family experienced tremendous loss, significant loss. The story's going to take a turn, but for an intentional reason. So my sister was pregnant, and my wife and I, we had this dream of watching our little sister become a mom, and we had this dream of watching our children grow up, because the age difference between our children, our son Roy, he would have only been a month older than our niece Shay. And so the reason I talk about that, the reason I want to be vulnerable with you is because I want to be honest with you. I had these dreams and the aspirations of taking my niece hunting. I had these dreams of taking my niece and my own children and watching them play together. I had these dreams of watching my sister grow into this beautiful woman as she becomes this high virtue, high capacity mother and embraces motherhood in the fullest capacity. And our family just had this overall dream of seeing the next generation come to fruition in the Secor and the Carlson Messer family. We had this wonderful dream. Now, a few days before my niece was to be born, my sister calls us and just lets us know that her daughter passed away. And I remember while receiving that phone call and holding my son and just weeping. Like, again, man, like, I'm an adult male here and I'm weeping in my living room. And I remember holding my boy, Roy, and just bear hugging the little man, not wanting to let him go. Everything inside me, every instinctive paternal right in me wanted to protect my boy. And everything in me wanted to protect my niece and my sister. And I want to be sensitive to this story because maybe your story is similar. Now, maybe not necessarily a stillborn, but maybe you experienced significant, tremendous loss. And if we're just vulnerable with one another, we have all experienced significant loss on some capacity. But the reason I share that story with you is very intentional, because in that loss, I felt like I was 6 years old again. Instead of being submerged in water, I was submerged in grief, pain, and loss. For months, I had dreamed of seeing my boys play with their cousin. For months, I dreamed of seeing my sister become a mama. And losing my niece, and I'm just going to be honest with you, losing my niece was again like falling off that dock. And it was in the waters of pain, I learned something about Jesus. I hope maybe you too can learn something about this Jesus guy. Maybe you've experienced that too. You know, maybe you were waiting for some type of rescue when your relationship was going through tremendous crisis, or maybe when you were going through that divorce. Maybe for some of you, you're asking Jesus to rescue you when you were going through great financial loss, and for a year and a half to 2 years, you had no job, you had no income. What are we going to do? Maybe you are seeking Jesus when you're waiting for your prodigal son or your prodigal daughter to come home for that Thanksgiving or Christmas meal. You know, again, as a youth pastor here at Alliance, I get to see families in all walks of life. This career is really unique, because again, you see people at their best, you see people at their worst, you see people in times of crisis. It's really a unique opportunity. I remember I had one student who experienced a season-ending injury in wrestling. And so he was in these waters of confusion and frustration. I remember talking with a student, because sports are everything for him. And I remember talking to the student and him just asking, dude, where's Jesus in all this? I couldn't answer that question. No theological background, no philosophical understanding could answer that question, but the only thing I had was my presence and the King with me. All your stories, all my stories, these examples, they share a commonality, though, that in the waters of distress that we are seeking hope. They share a context of loss or pain and seeking resolution. And let's be honest again, we've all experienced deep distress in some capacity, because in times of deep distress, we often look for hope. In times of deep distress, we often look for hope. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's actually quite a natural thing. That's a really healthy thing to start looking for hope. And because it's in that hope, transformation can begin to take root, both emotionally, spiritually, physically within you. And that's the beautiful thing, church, about the Christmas story. The Christmas story is about Jesus reaching down into the waters of distress and rescuing his people out of hopelessness. Can we get that next slide up? Thank you. So that's essentially the Christmas story in a nutshell. The Christmas story is Jesus reaching down to the waters of distress and tangibly, personally, rescuing his people out of the waters of hopelessness. But in order for that to happen, church, in order for Jesus to reach down into the waters of hopelessness, heaven had to be bankrupt. Check out this next slide. Jesus had to step down from his throne and experience humanity in the fullest capacity. I don't know how many of us have thought about that before, but heaven literally had to be bankrupt. The Son of God literally had to humble himself and become a human being just like you and me and experience humanity just like we do. The King himself had to leave his throne. We're going to sing a song called How Many Kings? And again, like Lane said, this is an interactive worship experience. I want to invite you to reflect on the lyrics of the song, because the song is all about Jesus Christ leaving his throne and joining us in the waters of distress. Jesus experienced great distress living here on this earth, and we'll unpack that a little bit later. But let this song for you, church, begin a process of transformation, of you experiencing Jesus in the fullest capacity as you engage with word, with thought, with your heart, with your emotions, with your intellect. Let this song begin a transformational process as King Jesus comes into your heart. How many kings allow their kingdom to be bankrupt? How many kings allow themselves to experience the brunt of humanity in the fullest sense? I want to read a verse for you. This is from Luke 2. At that time, there is a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. So Simeon, he's kind of an odd fellow. he's a weird dude. Simeon is a fellow who has been waiting for the Messiah to come, and him and all of Israel have been waiting with anticipation for this Messiah figure. And so I guess like the question then I kind of ask when I look about this odd fellow waiting eagerly for the Messiah, who is the Messiah? Well, to answer the question, the Messiah is the anointed one. And in other words, this Messiah figure is the king who would come and rescue his people. And Simeon, with all of Israel, waited with anticipation for this Messiah. Check this out. This is from Luke 2. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Now, imagine, like, if you have a young child with you right now, if you have an infant child, imagine being Jesus' parents, or imagine being you, and hearing this older gentleman say these things about the Messiah, say these things about your child, like saying, hey, your kid's salvation, he has been prepared for all people, he's a light to reveal God. If I was to hear that about my son, Roy, I would go, I don't think you know my son, man. Like, this is just an odd thing to hear. But what's crazy about Simeon is he's super intentional. In that time period, there was often two interpretations of what the Messiah was going to do. Most Israelites, they believed that the Messiah was going to be this military figure who would come and liberate them from the Romans. Now, Simeon, he also believed that the Messiah was coming to liberate, but a different type of liberation, and for a different group of people. Not just the Israelites, but everyone, including the the Romans. And so what's crazy about Jesus is that Jesus does this. I don't care about your social economic background. I don't care if you consider yourself Muslim or Christian. I don't care if you're liberal or conservative. What I care about is having you come into relationship with me. And what's crazy about this context is that the Romans, since they are overruling the Israelites, they absolutely hate the Romans. How many of us have a certain group that we maybe not hate, but don't like? And the crazy thing about Jesus is he obliterates that. He goes, no, it doesn't matter what your background is. What matters is the now and the present when you come into relationship with me. And so this liberation was going to include Israelites and everyone else and the Romans, and Jesus was going to liberate everyone from the waters of hopelessness. And what Simeon is saying about baby Jesus to Mary and Joseph in that previous verse is essentially this. Check this out. Jesus is the proof that God is rescuing his people out of hopelessness. Jesus is the proof that God is rescuing his people out of hopelessness. Now, at some point in Jesus' life, Jesus himself knew about this. Check this out. This is Mark 10:45. This is when Jesus is now an adult. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ransom. We don't hear that word a lot today. It's kind of a weird word. But ransom means to liberate or rescue. So when Jesus says, I came as a ransom, Jesus is saying, I came as a liberator. You see, Jesus, he is king. Jesus is not tamed. Jesus, his character is relentless. Jesus isn't a wimp. He's an untamed, unsafe king. And the attractive thing about Jesus is that he doesn't ask us to liberate ourselves. The attractive thing about Jesus is he doesn't expect you to liberate yourself. But he personally takes on the work to liberate us. Just like when I fell into those waters. I couldn't liberate myself. I couldn't rescue myself. I needed my dad to come and pull me out of the water. Likewise, Jesus is on the scene and is present even now, ready and wanting to pull you out of the water. The reason I am making this claim that Jesus is our rescuer is because Jesus himself experienced the difficulties and hurts of humanity. And that's why the Christmas story, church, is so important. That's why like the whole Bible and the picture it puts together of this Christ Messiah figure coming in and rescuing us is so essential, because the Christmas story is essentially about Jesus forcefully entering into the world so that he could liberate and rescue the world on a day we call Good Friday. And it's on Good Friday, the worst things happen to the best person. It's on Good Friday, the worst things happen to the best person. And when Jesus was nailed to a series of boards, when Jesus' best friends ditched him and ran from him, when Jesus had to commission a buddy of his to take care of his mom, the worst things happen to the best person on Good Friday. And it's because of this we get to celebrate Easter Sunday. Two reasons I'm crazy about Jesus is that, one, he endured all that for me to rescue me from the hopelessness of sin, and that he did that all to rescue you from the hopelessness of sin. And two, I see Jesus fully embrace and experience humanity to the point of death. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have experienced death in some capacity? There's some significant loss to that. But Jesus relates to that. He understands that. I want to show you a verse that has meant a lot to me. This is from the Old Testament. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, I will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. I don't like that verse. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like that verse because I look at that and I go, I don't want to go through the deep waters. I want to walk around. I don't want to go through the fires because I don't want to be burned. I want to go around, to go over the fire. But it doesn't say that, does it? No, instead, it acknowledges that life is going to have difficult circumstances. But in the midst of those circumstances, Jesus is present. Because when I go through deep waters, and it says this, it promises this, I will not drown. When I walk through the fire, I won't be burned. Now, here's why I won't drown or be burned. Jesus could not and Jesus would not stay dead from that Good Friday. On Easter Sunday, Jesus came back from the dead and kicked death to the curb. And so the Christmas story is necessary because Jesus' birth leads Jesus to Good Friday, which leads to his resurrection on Easter Sunday, which leads to us able to come into relationship with God and experience God like no other generation before. Because the Christmas story happened, we can come into relationship with God through Jesus. The worship band is going to play a song called Reckless Love. And this song is talking about Jesus' relentless pursuit of us. Now, as you read over the lyrics, I want to invite you, place yourself in the song. Place yourself in the midst of the lyrics. Reflect on how Jesus has pursued you or is pursuing you. Let's invite the King into our lives. You know, maybe as we've been walking through this service together, you know, maybe you're in a spot right now where you're going, you know, I'm ready to do this Jesus following thing. You know, and I want to give you an opportunity right now, and I want to respect this time that we have together and give you that opportunity to maybe say yes to Jesus for the first time. You know, and saying yes to Jesus, it's this wonderful acknowledgement for us that we have this good King who has saved us and is saving us from sin and hopelessness. Like, I just want to be clear. I want to be sensitive to this. Like, me extending this invite to you is not me saying, join Alliance Church so we can add to our numbers. That's not my heart at all in this. Me saying, I want to give the opportunity to say yes to Jesus is because I want you to experience Jesus. Again, I don't care what your social economic background is. I don't care if you're liberal or conservative. I don't care if you voted for that guy or that guy, or if you're a Vikings or a Packers fan. I don't care about any of that. Like, what I care about is you coming into that relationship with Jesus and experiencing the transformation that comes from Jesus. And the seat pocket in front of you, we actually have some cards for you to fill out. So if you're in your spot right now where you're saying, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus, Chris, I would love if you would fill I said yes to Jesus today, because here's why. Again, know my heart in this. It's not because I want to drive these numbers and be like, look at what we did today. It's because I want to connect with you and I want to set you up for success. And so if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you can say something like this. It doesn't have to be word for word. There's no magic words. It's all inward. But if you want, you can say something like this in your head or out loud if you want. You can go, Jesus, I'm ready to hand my life over to you now. I know you are the hope that I can confidently stand on. Thank you for rescuing me from sin. Thank you that you did all the work to liberate me and that you don't expect me to liberate myself. Jesus, begin transforming me. Amen. So if you pray that, if you said something like that, if you experienced something in your heart that was transformational, welcome into God's family. There's actually a really beautiful story that Jesus tells in Luke, and maybe your like persona of God is this dude with a gray beard and iron scepter just ready to bop your head. That's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know in this story that I want to tell you real briefly is a Jesus who is dressed in royalty, and when he sees his prodigal son, when he sees his prodigal daughter start coming home to his house, he hikes up his robe and starts hightailing it over to you. That's the Jesus I know, and that's the Jesus that I want to give you the opportunity to experience. And what's even great about that story, when Jesus hightails his I don't know whatever kings call those things, skirts. Whenever he starts hightailing that thing and running towards you, the passage ends with this king and his household just partying, having a celebration. And so if you said yes to Jesus today, guess what? Up in heaven in the heavenly host, the saints here, everywhere, globally, locally, we are partying for you in the fact that you said yes to Jesus and that you came into a relationship and are experiencing the transformational power that comes from Jesus. Because here at Alliance, we are passionate about coming together and following Christ. And again, I want to encourage you to take that next step in your discipleship process and just consider telling someone. Consider checking that spot on that card in front of you so that way we can start this process, this journey together. And if you're in a spot where you're going, you know what, Chris? Like, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm just not ready. That's okay. That is totally fine. And here's why. Our desire for you when you come to Alliance Church, it's not just a place to attend. It's a place to belong. You're still very much welcome here. Please feel free to come again. Please feel free to experience Alliance Church in her fullest capacity. You know, and if that's something that you want to do, again, you use those welcome cards in front of you and just fill out some information so that we can connect with you. At the end of our service, we're going to have some ushers at the doors. Just drop them off. You know, they're not going to make a scene about it. Where no one's going to make a scene about it or go, whoa, you, dude, you said yes to Christ. No one's going to do that, I promise you. Okay? But we just ask that you just drop them off at the ushers in the back doors. The worship band is going to come back up. And we're going to play a song called Jesus, Thank You. And this song is a celebratory piece. It's a song thanking and celebrating Jesus for that sacrifice on the cross, for his liberation, for rescuing us, and his continual passion in pursuing us. And so as we worship together, church, whether you are a young Jesus follower or an older Jesus follower, let this song mark a milestone in your life as you celebrate Jesus invading your life, coming into your life, and ransoming you and us from sin. I want to end with this and have my story come to full circle. When Shay passed away last year, I was deeply grieved. But in the process of my grief, my wife and I had this confidence that Jesus was on the move in our family. While the circumstances were unfortunate and the circumstances were painful, and it's okay to question the circumstances, Paige and I had this profound hope and this profound understanding that in Jesus' love, grace, and relentlessness, impact was taking place within our family. Significant impact that lasts. When you say yes to Jesus, when you experience Jesus, you are experiencing significant impact that lasts. C.S. Lewis, he wrote a series of books that were eventually made into movies called The Chronicles of Narnia. And so Aslan is this peculiar person, or lion, more or less. And he's a character in Narnia. And Aslan represents the Jesus figure throughout all these stories. And The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's one of the books. Mr. Beaver is talking to the children about Aslan, and Mr. Beaver has this profound, odd quote about Aslan. And it paints this wonderful picture about the Jesus of the Bible. About the Jesus in the Bible. Check this out. This is Mr. Beaver. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He's the king, I tell you." That quote accurately portrays Jesus. The Jesus we read about in the Bible isn't safe, but the Jesus that we do read about in the Bible is a very good king. When I learned I was in the waters of loss, when I learned about the passing of Shay, I learned that Jesus was personally with me in those waters. Like Isaiah said, "I'm going to walk with you through the waters. You won't drown, but I will be with you." And I want to be sensitive to this. I really do. But I also don't want to give you false hope or a false platform. When we lost Shay, it sure felt like I was drowning, but I didn't drown. What I learned in those waters was that Jesus personally reached down into the waters and pulled me out. And when Jesus pulled me out, he dried me off and gave me a new set of clothes. And in the closeness of Jesus' gravitational pull, I realized Jesus was mourning with me and was grieving with me. And in the mourning and in the grieving and in this new set of clothes that Jesus has given me, he dressed me in his love and his grace, and most importantly, his presence. That is a king I know. And that is a king who is untamed, who is so willing to walk with you into the waters, and he's willing to mourn with you in those waters. But when it's time to leave the waters, he leaves with you, and you with him. When it's time to get out of the waters of loss, when it's time to get out of the waters of grief and loss and mourn, he doesn't abandon you, he goes with you. Saying yes to Jesus is a significant impact that lasts. If you've been a Jesus follower for a long time, I want to encourage you, especially if you brought someone with you, I want to encourage you to share how you have experienced the goodness of King Jesus in hard situations. Let your story speak the goodness of King Jesus. If you said yes to Jesus for the first time today, ask people about Jesus. Ask people about his goodness. Ask how he liberated them and continually liberates his people. The Christmas story is this wonderful story of an untamed king who reached into the world to be with his people, because it is significant impact that lasts.